Our guest is Renee King-Sonnen, Executive Director and Founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Hey, how are you today, Renee? Thank you for being a part of the show.
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, I do love a good steak, and it's kind of out of vogue. It really is. It's out of vogue. You can get people get very upset with you. So, how big of a controversy, how much talk was there when you came up with this idea for a Texas ranch that will no longer sell them for slaughter, but in fact rescue for sanctuary?
How much controversy?
Yeah, what? In other words, didn't a lot of Texans go, whoa, 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 what are we talking about here? Let's eat these.
No, they didn't really.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting, Ed, because...
Why? Tell me why. Go ahead. Why are we rescuing instead of slaughtering? Because I'm thinking food, but there's got to be more at stake than that.
Well, number one, steak is a description that, humans made. It's not really steak. It's a dead animal flesh.
Right.
And so
it's delicious, though. It's delicious, and it tastes so good, and it's good for us.
Well, let me tell you, you know what else tastes good? I'm going to just tell you what would taste good. Even a slice out of a person's rear end, seasoned and cooked and just right, would taste good, too. So flesh in and of itself is just, it's animal flesh, you know? We've just decided that we're going to commodify farm animals, and a lot of people will say, I love animals, but they're eating a chicken or a cow or a, whatever, a pig, but they say I love animals, and it's really a split in the consciousness of our humanity, actually. And let me tell you, I'm a
so Texan. So wait a second now, you think it's unnatural to eat animals? You think that's not like last night? I'm watching that with it. I love watching that with the animals chase each other on TV, and then they stalk them, and then they eat them, and it's the natural cycle of life.
If you want to go out there and bare hands and run like a jackal and go tackle a deer and tear its flesh off the bone, you go right ahead. That's natural. Those animals are true carnivores. They have the teeth that are true carnivores, the big long fangs. They have a digestive system that's meant to actually digest raw flesh, blood, tendons, whatever.
Yeah.
Humans don't.
Okay.
Humans really are not carnivores. We're not even, we can make ourselves into omnivores, but truly we're frugivores. We're just like the monkey or the ape. We're really meant to, forage. And, we do just fine. In fact, we thrive on a plant-based diet. There's plenty of protein in broccoli.
Right, the thing is, loving steak is wrong? It's delicious. It's so good for you.
Well,
you put on
muscle. Oh, no, it's not.
But, that's the thing, right? That's the thing. For me, it is. Like, I'm a thin person. So I've never had a weight issue, a cholesterol issue, none of that. And I love it bloody and thick and porterhouse and all of that. And feels so great the next day when you go play golf or you go play softball. You got real protein, not something from a smoothie.
No, not real protein, actually.
Wait a second.
There's more protein.
There's no protein in meat. Oh, wow. All right. Well, you got me. So let me ask it this way then. If the animals are rescued, what does become of them? We were raising them at one point. We knew they were going to be slaughtered and used to feed people. What do you do when you rescue at the ranch?
Well, what I did, I bought my husband's cows. It was 29 of them. We married. Long story short there, what we did is we got married. The second time, he was a rancher. We're both from Texas, and I started developing relationships with these animals out there that I didn't know that was going to happen. And before, they were just out there pasture ornaments to me. I really didn't pay attention to them until I got little Rowdy Girl, and Rowdy Girl needed to be bottle fed. And so I got little Rowdy Girl, started bottle feeding her. And when I started bottle feeding Rowdy Girl, I started noticing the relationships of the animals. There's true community with these cows and their babies. They have babysitters they have friends. You can tell which ones hang out together. And when you get to observe a herd, like I started doing, you begin seeing that they are someone, not a piece of meat. And I started really seeing that. And so what happened for me was, over a course of time, I started giving my husband hell over the fact that he was sending these animals to slaughter to the sale barn, and I was just driving me crazy. I wasn't vegan.
I don't understand. I'm not following why that's so bad. Yes, some people don't like to eat them, but why is it horrible to raise them to feed?
It would be like if aliens were seeing us as food, right? And they were commodifying us. I mean, come consider this. They don't think they're food. Okay, cows don't think they're food.
Right,
we think they are.
Okay.
But isn't that how? If you're in
isn't
the
that,
wild,
right? But isn't that how nature works? Doesn't the predator
decide
who the prey
the
is?
We're not a predator. We're murderers.
Well,
actually,
you know what I mean. We want it. Look, we're not. I'm losing it here a little bit. You know what I mean. The animals are on the planet like us. We've chosen to eat them. That's it. There's really nothing more to talk. Now, people who choose not to, that's nice if you see, you know, kind of the Bambi effect, that it's more than just, as you said before, an animal for food. You see a little someone there, like Bambi. That was what they mean by the Bambi effect. So why does one cancel out the other? That's what I'm not sure.
Because all of them are Bambis. The one we see as Bambi is not just Bambi. They're all Bambis. It's just that we've decided to see that person as a Bambi.
Okay.
And so we go, oh, Bambi. But they're really all Bambis.
And what's wrong with the decision, even though some people don't like it, what is wrong with the decision to kill, cook, and eat Bambi? Right there with his cute little face. Yeah, go ahead, help me.
Let me just say that, you know, number one, the vegan ethic is environment, ethics, and then there's health, right? So just take your ethics out of the window, but consider the environment. The environment is completely being annihilated by animal agriculture. Our planet, we cannot continue to consume and commodify animals at the rate that we're doing on this planet. Well, we are destroying the Amazon. We're destroying our natural resources, our water, you know, everything, so that we, you know, horses, you know, the BLM, they're going in and just taking horses off these wild, you know, horse ranges so that they can use them for cattle production. Cattle production is off the charts, and we can't continue to do this, and we're blinded by all this. We just go to the store and buy your porterhouse. You know, you don't really see the horrors that go on in these factories. I mean, it would be different. I mean, like before, a long time ago, when there was family ranches, you know, farms, and everything was done on a family farm. I mean, it wasn't done like this, you know. And I mean, I'm not even saying that was right, but what I'm saying is now it's so completely wrong. What we're doing to these animals in these factories? We're raising them like they're corn. I mean, we're actually taking baby calves away from their mamas and putting them in these little hutches.
I get it. The little kids in my family would start to cry the minute you said that. I get that.
Yeah.
You can't tell first graders that you're stealing the baby calf from the mom to eat.
Well, you need
Very sad. But
we need to tell them. We need to tell these first graders that.
Tell them. Uh-huh. Well, I guess I think that's the key question, right, for a lot of people like me who love to eat meat. It's hard to see that this isn't the natural order of what you said. We're not predators because we're using instruments to take them down. Was that the way you defined
we're
it?
We're killers,
right? But see, that's the thing, though. We're brilliant. We have a human mind to outsmart them, so we can kill them, eat them.
We also have a human mind to be compassionate.
I don't know. I don't know if that's part of survival. Isn't that the problem with compassion? It's good. Compassion is great when you have a multitude for yourself. When you have plenty. In other words, by the word multitude, I mean you have plenty for yourself, whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whether it's money. You have plenty. So then comes compassion. Look at all I have. But, I mean, there are people, you know, who this is their one thing that they enjoy eating at the, you know, Saturday night was steak night in my house. We had Saturday night steak with my dad. And that was a big thing that they look forward to. So I don't really see what they were doing wrong. They didn't tell the other guy.
They're not doing anything wrong in their mind because it's we're acculturated to eat animals. I mean, it's tradition. I mean, family ranches, you know, go back generations. I mean,
right.
It's so hard to change our because we're taught this. It's tradition.
Well, I think also the thing that's bothering us. We don't want to feel like it's wrong. We feel somebody else thinks it's wrong.
Like it's wrong. See, that's why it took
right.
me
in. It's somebody else's
years.
Opinion.
It took me
it's,
6 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It took me 6 years
right.
to break because I was a rancher's wife, okay? I wasn't, you know, right. a vegan. I was
right.
a from Texas, wore boots, cowboy boots, went to rodeos,
right.
barbecue cook-offs, I mean, all that. I'm
yeah.
a country western singer, you know, and all that, and, you know, wore leather.
Right.
So, but I changed because I started seeing this over time. It took me 6 years to break because... Mm. I'm so conditioned as the rest of us. I mean, listen to my accent. I'm a Texas girl, you know, and I went vegan because I really couldn't stand what we were doing anymore. I started seeing them as individuals. I started naming them. And my husband started was telling me, stop naming them cows.
Well, I was just going to say, you know? Why that doesn't sound normal. That does sound a little bit over the top. That does sound, as a matter of fact, there's a word for that, I think. I remember when there's a word, I think it's called anthropomorphizing. We see something and we want it to, we want to believe that it thinks like us, it feels like us, et cetera, et cetera. And
it does. They have their own feelings. They may not feel like a human, but they feel like a cow. They breathe.
Right.
They grieve. They cry.
Right.
They have joy. I see them have happiness.
But I don't understand why that means we still... But why wouldn't we... In other words, the thing that it confuses me...
Why would you want to eat somebody that has a mother or a baby?
Well, because you're a free... Because you're a free person and you eat what you wish. You know what I mean? You should be able to eat what you wish. I mean, in Europe for years, in France, all with the horse meat. They're all about eating horse meat. Now, in California, a buddy of mine was on the show, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. There was a big controversy because they were having horse meat, but it was under the table. But everybody wanted it because it was so good. So they were eating it and enjoying it, and they had to be criminals in order to do it. And I'm like, what is going
on?
They
ought to be.
Well, this is
let
tough.
Let me tell you, because...
I don't want to be in your jail. I don't want to be in your jail because I ate a cow you like. You can't put me in jail. You know what I mean. I mean, I don't want to be on... I don't want to be in trouble with you because you liked...
You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. This is just you and I having a discussion, right? Because I'm not arguing that, you know, what I want to say about right and wrong, okay?
Right. So you don't think it is wrong. So you don't think it's wrong. That was my only question. I wanted to relieve the audience of
their... No, it's not wrong for you. It used to not be wrong for me. But when I started seeing them as individuals...
Right.
See, it's hard to break through. When I went vegan, it was like something in me that was pushed down for years.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm so conditioned, like everybody else. When something finally popped to the top, that I started going, oh, my God. I've been seeing this all wrong, and everybody, I promise you, if there is a heaven and hell, if when we die, we go somewhere and there really is a heaven, there ain't going to be no slaughterhouses there. Ain't going to be none. Ain't going to be nobody eating the cow or lamb or anything else, because in the very beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden, it was vegan. There was no slaughtering, you know, and so if we're going to go, if we need to be getting back to, you know, what's... Humans need to develop and evolve their consciousness.
I guess, you know, you're right. You're right about that. I'm just, I feel like this is one of these things that people are free to do and see and feel.
We're free to go murder if we want to.
No, we're not.
Right?
No, you're wrong about that because I know there's a law against murder. I saw OJ get prosecuted.
But you know why there's not a law against eating cows? Because humans made it up.
Well, that's what I would say. This is what I was trying...
Because, you know, there used to be slavery.
You understand.
You know, we used to have slaves.
Right.
Everybody had slaves.
See, that's not fair.
Too long ago, women couldn't vote.
Right. But, you know, I... find it hard for my listeners to be identified with slavery and women's rights issues.
No, I'm not trying to identify them as slavery. What I'm trying to say is we evolved as a culture to stop having slaves.
Yes.
We evolved as a culture to stop putting women in the, you know, to start, you know, using women.
Yes.
And actually giving women a right to vote. We evolved.
Yes.
And now we are in a place where we need to see that we need to evolve where we are with animals.
Well,
that was
exactly where I didn't see the connection. I got the women's rights. I certainly got the civil rights. I don't see the connection. So you think that the rights...
The animal rights.
Do you think the animal... has a right not to be slaughtered and eaten?
I do.
And where would that come from, that right?
Do.
Well, other than something we'd wish for where would that right be grounded? I mean, we do.
Where would the right be grounded for slavery, for them not to be slavery?
Well, you know,
finally, it got to a breaking point where we didn't do it anymore.
I
Women's
see.
Rights got
I
to a breaking point. Well,
right, but I don't.
Anymore.
But if I,
right,
did,
yeah, if
but
starts,
right, but in other words, if
animal,
I didn't want to,
right,
right? But I'm just saying. I'm just saying on behalf of my listeners, I'm sticking up for them a little bit because we really love eating that meat. We love that. There's, I don't know if you have a Five Guys near you. But they're the most amazing burgers. They're not cheap, but they're amazing. They taste incredibly. And I'm wondering if it's a moral issue or it's a preference. What do you think?
I promise you that it's definitely, well, there's plant-based burgers right now. There's one called Beyond Meat that you can eat, and if you would not know the difference.
Mm.
And see, there's actually labs creating a plant-based meat. I mean, a real meat that's not out of plants.
Right.
They're getting like some sort of DNA from, you know, some kind of colostrum or something from a cow.
You wouldn't eat that, something. Would you? Would you eat that?
No, I wouldn't.
I know, but there's no way you would. You're a vegan, right?
The thing is, for people like you that just can't do without the flesh. Then that's going to be perfect.
We're going to get inferior meat now. We're not going to get the best, healthiest animals slaughtered up for us and then barbecued.
That isn't the best. When you're eating violence. I mean, those animals are completely terrified. So when they're slaughtered, you're getting to eat all those hormones that
right.
are full of violence.
I'll tell you what, you make a very powerful case. You do.
Well, I wasn't prepared for an interview like this, but I'm ready.
You're the best. I don't think anybody could do a better job than you. All right, so in recent bad weather, what has that done to the rescue and sanctuary situation there? Were you flooded after the floods with animals to rescue? How did Harvey and the aftermath of that go for you?
Well, we're still in the midst of it. You know, we have 96 farm animals that we currently call home at Rowdy Real Sanctuary, and we were able to frantically transport 96 animals during, you know, the rising floodwaters and stuff. We got them all out of there before all the flood hit.
Wow.
And we are currently back at the sanctuary. We were evacuated for almost 2 weeks, and now then we're back, and we're...
How big is the sanctuary? How big is the sanctuary? How many animals are there?
It's 96. We have actually 96 acres, and we just happen to have around 96 animals.
Wow.
We have about 60 cows, 28 chickens, I think it is, and we have 3 great big hogs that we've rescued from FFA. We have a potbelly. We have 3 goats, and we have 3 horses.
What would you say is the primary attraction? Are you getting a lot of interest and a lot of attention because you're singular, or do you think that you're actually kicking off a little bit of a trend here?
Yeah, well, we've got a program we've developed called Rancher Advocacy Program, and I have a couple of ranches right now that I'm talking to that are interested in transitioning. And so the thing is, it's kind of like, you know, because we are, you know, kind of like the first known, anyway, documented you know, ranch like this that's had a change of heart and going vegan, what's happening is other ranchers that would even consider such a thing are thinking about it, and we're the only ones that they really, you know, talk to about it. I mean, who do you talk to? You don't go, I mean, you know, who are you going to talk to about this?
Right.
I mean,
when
it happened to me, I didn't know who to talk to. I mean, I reached up to folks like Howard Lyman, if you know who that is.
I don't. I do not. Should I? I should know.
You should. You know, he was on Oprah Winfrey. He's the one that outed the mad cow disease in the 90s. And, you know, Oprah was sued.
Right. That I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Howard Lyman. And anyway, he was a big rancher. He had, I don't know how many acres.
Right.
Tons
right.
of cows. And he sold out. He was a big agriculture rancher. He sold out, and he's vegan. But he was the only one that I could really talk to. And you talk about hard to get a hold of. It took me a long time to get a hold of that man, but I was determined. because he's a celebrity.
I hear you. I hear you. No, that the determination comes through. That see, this is what my first question was. I was wondering how it struck people that you were doing this, but you told us that, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a stereotype that I was operating from. More people than you would imagine are aware of why this is important. Listen, now that you operate this, do you offer yourself as a resource for like the 4-H clubs and the Future Farmers of America? Are you spreading the word? Are you kind of an evangelist a little bit here with the young ones to see these animals differently from the earliest ages when they used to just say, well, I want to milk a cow and go home? And now it's...
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's not that we're having to even evangelize. They're finding us. We have a program we've developed called Families Choosing Compassion for this very reason, because these families are finding us. They know that we're here. Now, I don't have to go looking. I have a pig right now that I'm trying to place, a beautiful little pig, and it's going to be slaughtered, you know, after October 31st, and I think I just found a home for it, you know. So if we can't keep them ourselves, I act as a resource to how, you know, to find homes for these little animals, because... You know, these kids raise these animals, and, I mean, this girl is laying down with her pig. She loves her pig, you know, and she didn't know that she was going to have feelings for it. That's the issue, is, you know, in these programs are, you know, they're intended to be great programs, but what happens is they're trying to desensitize these kids to raise them and then feel like it's okay to send them down the slaughter truck. And, you know, some kids
and, you
can
know, in other words,
go through that.
I was just trying to resolve this. Again, you know, trying to get a handle on both sides of the issue, right? Mm-hmm. I totally get the kid feeling wonderful about the pig because, you know, cats, dogs, puppies, we get this. It's wonderful what it does for a household. I guess I'm having a hard time seeing why it's so bad that they live and then they provide food when dead.
You don't have to eat them. Why would you want to? They don't consider themselves food. They have families. They're babies when we eat. When we kill them, they're like 6 months old. So we're going around as a world eating babies, thinking it's all right.
See what I mean? And you can't support that. I don't support that. So definitely,
but you're doing it. You're eating babies.
Yeah, I hear you. It's tough because these opinions hurt. People who believe them when they hear you say that,
of course
they go home. They go home tonight and they go, you know something.
I've seen it. Okay,
right.
Until we break through,
right?
How in the world are we going to see it? Till we see it, the only way we're going to see it is to go, oh my God! I mean, whenever I first went vegan, it was because I saw a film where this family was having a beef stew, and somebody says, what's in it? And the lady says, you know, they're enjoying this beef stew, right? Everybody's just loving it. And so what's the recipe? And this lady says, well, I start off with a pound of very young ground golden retriever, a little puppy. And everybody stopped and went, what? I'm eating a golden retriever puppy? And they couldn't eat it anymore, right? And she went, oh, I'm just kidding. It's really cow.
Right.
And then they still couldn't eat it because the image was so stark in their mind. So I saw that and I went, oh, my God. Well, that night when I went to my mother-in-law's house,
right.
She was serving beef stew. This is when I finally went vegan.
Boy, you got guts.
She got that beef stew.
You got guts, right? You took on your mother-in-law when she's serving the beef stew. Yeah, that
God
takes guts.
God rest her soul. I looked at that beef stew, and it was the moment, October 31st, 2014. I said, I mean, there was family all around making a bunch of noise. I just said, I can't eat that. And she said, why? And I said, because it's got floating dead, hacked up animal bodies in it. And everybody in the room stopped talking. It was as if I had blurted out something I should never have said.
Right.
You know, instead of saying because I don't eat meat, I called it out on the carpet. It's
right.
got floating
right.
dead, hacked up animal bodies in it.
Wow.
And everybody looked at me like I'd lost my mind. That moment, I went vegan. I broke through whatever conditioning was in me, and I've never looked back.
Renee, you've made a big difference in me, because honest to God, up until this dialogue, I really didn't even consider it. And for me, to consider it is a big deal. So you got an old school steak lover here up on the fence. Great job. Fantastic job. Renee King Sonnen is the executive director and founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. She is a native Houstonian and the executive director and found. By the way, what does that mean? You tend to everything, right? You're all over the place watching everything. How many people are there during the day with you at the sanctuary?
Well, we have a full-time animal caretaker, and I have now an executive assistant that works with me, finally, so I'm so glad about that. My husband, my God, he's my right arm right now. He's on his way to Luling to get more of our cows and our pigs and our horses. We just bought a trailer, and it's just crazy. Yeah, so we have, like, me, Kate, Stephen, and my husband. That's who works at the sanctuary.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you dropped their names. Let them hear some recognition on the air. It's awesome. Rowdy Girl Sanctuary is the first documented beef cattle ranch to ever convert from selling for slaughter to rescue for finding them a new home and becoming a vegan farm animal sanctuary. Renee, we've only begun on this issue. I cannot wait till you come back on the show and we talk some more.
I'd love to. Thank you so much. It was a lively discussion. I loved it.
Same here. What's the best website to go to follow up with you?
It's rowdygirlsanctuary.org, and you can find us on all Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Perfect.
All that.
You got it. Rowdy Girl, rowdygirlsanctuary.org. And thank you again so much for the time. And you gave us a good education. All right? I'm a tough questioner.
Thank you. I'm glad.
And you did a great job with it.
I'm glad I was prepared somehow to do that.
You are. I get the feeling you're always ready to talk about this subject, no matter who it is. And a great job with it today, Renee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. Renee King-Sonnen, the executive director and founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Angleton, Texas. It is the Ed Till Show on StarCom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America.